Daf Gittin. We're starting Masechta Gittin this morning, Daf Beis. We begin with the Mishnah. Before we start the actual Mishnah itself, first of all, thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is Lonel Zeich and Ishmael Sleeper, Gabriela Bashmuel. One larger point, and that is Masechta Gittin is next in the line of Masechtas because. So I'm going to tell you something that I've mentioned already a number of times in the past, but it's worthwhile repeating because it's a general yisod that really gets us through understanding the order of the masechtos. Larger masechtos first, smallest masechtos at the end. That's the rule of thumb. It's a great rule. It's just it always works. Although I where the ties go, that needs an explanation because Sota and Gittin both have 9 prakim in them. So why Sota in front of Gittin? But it generally makes sense because we just finished Nazir, Sota. Okay, so we want to put Nazir and Sota together. But anyway, your largest masechtas are in the front, and the smallest masechtas. And by the way, large and small over here quantified by number prakim. So Gittin is 9 prakim. Second to last Masechta coming up in Seder Nashim. Then comes Kiddushim, which only has 4 prakim, and that's it, and we finish Seder Nashim. Seder Nashim, by the way, has the smallest number of Masechtos in it, only 7 Masechtos in Seder Nashim. And then at which point in time, then we start with the Bavas, Bava Kama, Bava Mitzia, Bava Basra. Okay, big year ahead of us now. I know we're already in December, we're well into the year. But now you have the classic Masechtos of Gittin, Kiddushim, and Bava Kama. Like that's our year this year. So these are the popular masechtas to learn in the yeshiva. In the yeshivas in general, the Masechta Gittin is a very popular masechta, which if you think about it, it's not strange. It's all Torah, so it's all it all makes sense. But it's being such a popular masechta, being that really the topic of discussion is divorce. That's the topic of discussion throughout the masechta, the 9 prakim, the over 90 blot of Gemara. So it committed to understanding the mechanics of how a divorce works and how a get is written and how a get is issued. So it's a little bit unusual that becomes such a popular topic amongst the Bnei Yeshiva. But part of the reason why it is so popular is you'll see even today's daf, it really becomes a means of discussing some of the more basic issues. Eidus by Davar Erva. Shlichus, Shlich La'olacha, Shlich La'kabbalah. There are just some very basic issues that come up over the defining Rishus. Okay, so some basic issues that are discussed over the course of the Masechta, which make it so popular. We're going to learn this in Kiddushin. Again, I'm just saying a couple things by way of introduction, and then we'll start with the Mishnah and the Gemara. We're going to learn together in Masechta Kiddushin that entrance into a marriage occurs in one of 3 ways, and exit from a marriage occurs in one of 2 ways. 3 ways of exit of entering into a marriage is Kesef Shtarubiyah, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. We're going to see it later on in the in Daf Yomi, in Shas. We'll go over them later. And the 2 ways of exiting a marriage is either death or divorce. Right? Death is a pretty final way of exiting a marriage. It's more than just exiting a marriage. It's exiting the world. But divorce is a means of a way of severing a marriage between a husband and wife. And our Mishnah over here is going to assume and presume that we know some of the basics. Basics is that it must be done, again, severing a divorce must be a document being presented from the husband over to the wife. It is nothing else. There's nothing else that severs a marriage between the husband and wife. It's done through a divorce, but a bill of divorce, meaning it has to actually be a klaf. It doesn't have to be a klaf. We'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But it has to be an object where you're writing the words on something. Okay, right now I'll just call it a piece of paper, but on something. The husband hands it over to the woman, right? And that is the only way to sever a relationship. Although entering into the relationship can be done paperless, it can be done with kesef, it can be done with bia, but exiting a marriage can only be done with sefer krisus, only with an actual document. It's the only way that can happen. Minhag Yisrael has been for as long as recorded that it's written on a document that's 12 lines. Okay, we'll talk about that also in just a moment, in terms of why that's Minhag Yisrael, that it's written on a document of 12 lines. That's coming up. That's the first Tosos, which we're going to see in just a moment. Okay, just one other word of introduction. Shlichus. Okay, basically appointing an agent, a proxy. So who's going to stand in your place? So in terms of shlichus, so that's a concept that again is going to come up time and again throughout our Masechta. It's also coming up in Kedushin. The second parak of Kedushin discusses it at length. And basically, what shlichus is it's an appointment. It's a power of attorney, right? You will become me, and I'm going to nominate you as being my agent, so that you now can perform functions that I myself right now I'm not capable of doing. All right. So, for example, let's say that the husband and wife are separated. He's living outside of Israel. She's living in Israel, and could be that that's why they separated. But whatever the case is, and now they want to terminate the marriage. So what he's going to do is he's got to give her the get. Meaning, again, go back to the basic point, which is that the only way marriage can be severed is by him presenting her a get. But right now he's living outside of Israel, and has no interest in coming in. So he appoints a shliach. So with the appointment of an agent, he now is going to pass the document on to the agent, and the agent is now going to go to Eretz Yisrael and is going to present it to his wife. And that's shlichus. And shlichus now means effectively that the person that you appointed now is you, and now you are giving your wife a get. She can also appoint a shliach as well. Let's say that she wants to accept the get, but right now she can't be present. So what she can do is she can appoint a shliach, and she can now nominate a person to accept the get on her behalf. And the acceptance of the shliach is her accepting the get. Just in terms of getting used to the terminology, when he sends out a shliach, that's a shliach laholacha. When she appoints a shliach, that's a shliach lekabbalah. Okay, so far so good. Okay, these are the basics, the real ABCs, some rudimentary points regarding the issuing of a get. Our Mishnah, Kedarko Bekodesh, like the way it normally operates in Mishnayos, is going to go to a real specific halacha within the realm of the delivery of a get. Rather than taking us through some of the most basic points, looking at the psukim, analyzing the psukim, or just giving us the basic halachas, what our Mishnah is going to do is going to detail one particular halacha, and in that one particular halacha, obviously we'll extrapolate some of the larger points, but we're really going to be focusing on one point. And that is the delivery of a get that's occurring from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And that's where we start with our Mishnah. Maybe get me Medina Sayyam if you're delivering a get from Medina Sayyam. The term Medina Sayyam is the term that's used for any land that is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bavel is going to be an exception to that, but we don't know that yet. That's coming up later in the Masechta, a short couple days from now. But maybe get me Medina Sayyam. When you are delivering a get from anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael, and now the get is being delivered to the woman who is living in Eretz Yisrael, so Tzarech Shiyomer, the shliach now needs to say the following: Befanei Nechtav or Befanei Nechta. It was written in front of me, and it was signed in front of me. So the one witness is going to quote unquote testify. If really the right word to use over here. We'll talk on the Amud Beis. We'll talk more about what exactly that means. Testify. You need two witnesses to testify. But he's going to testify that the get was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me. Why does he need to say that? Stay tuned, because that discussion we're going to have when the moment we start with the Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Afa Mevi Min Arekem Umin Acheger. Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that even when delivering a get from Rekem and from Cheger, which is outside of Eretz Yisrael, into Eretz Yisrael, so you need to say Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechta. Okay, what is the Chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel? So Rashi says, wait, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to understand what he's adding to the point. Just as an interesting parenthetical note, Rekem and Cheger, Rashi says, Bein Kadesh Ubein Barad. The Targum of that Pasuk is Rekem and Cheger. What was that describing? Where Hagar was exiled from the home. Right, Sarah told Avram, okay, it's time now to let Hagar go. So she went to Rekem and Cheger. So it's somewhere outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Eleazar Amar Afilu Mikfar Lud and Lud. Even when you go from Kfar Lud to Lud, Kfar Lud is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Lud is inside of Eretz Yisrael. So, and even though they are kind of like sister cities, like twin cities, it doesn't matter. The halach is that when you're going from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, you need to say Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechta. V'chachamim omrim einu tzarech shi'amar b'fanei nechtam ela ha'mevi mimidinas hayam. And the chachamim say that you only need to say b'fanei nechtam only when you bring it from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so once again, stay tuned. We're going to analyze the Tanakhama's position, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, where the Chachamim departs from the Tanakhama, because really the Chachamim is just repeating what the Tanakhama already stated. So all this is going to be discussed at length in the Gemara. Okay, in the Mishnah here, we're going to pause for just a moment, and let's speak out Tosfos. Tosfos is, first Tosfos on the Masechta notes that Minhag Yisrael, that the Get is written on 12 lines. Now, first of all, the term Get itself, that's a term we're going to hear again and again throughout the Masechta. Get, the word Get just simply means document. Okay, it's a generic term. It just simply means a document. Get can be a Get Mamon. It can be a document that you owe me money. Anywhere in the realm of halacha where a document is needed, the term that's used is get. Obviously, in our masechta, whenever we use the term get, we're using it pretty much exclusively for the halacha of a document that'll sever the marriage between a husband and a wife. Okay, Tosus makes that point in the first Tosus, and then Tosus goes on to describe using this as his platform. Goes on to describe Minhag Yisrael is that the document is written on a parchment, which is 12 lines long. So basically, what the sofer is going to do is he knows that he's going to make the get 12 lines. So regardless of the name of the chassan, the name of the husband and wife, and how many not only names they have but pseudo names they have, and you know there could be a lot of information written on the document. Whatever, it's a standard document, but the names and the pseudo names and all the kinuim that it's referred to as, so it's going to fit into 12 lines. Why? So Tosfos over here brings down two opinions why it's 12 lines. So number one says Tosfos Zumash and Algan Lichtov Yud Beishuros Beget Omer Rabbi Natam. So he quotes in the name of Rabbi Natam Yishum to get Gematria Yud Beis. So first he quotes Rabbi Natam. He says, well, the word get itself in the Gematria is the number 12. Okay. I'm not going to admit that I fully understand Rabbeinu Tam's point, meaning I do get the gematria, that's an easy gematria, but so what? Meaning, and the word get is the number 12, and okay, so it's going to be 12 lines. There's obviously more depth to the point of Rabbeinu Tam, which admittedly I'm not fully following. Just as an interesting note, I'll throw it in now. There's a his knowledge of Chumash and I mean everything was unbelievable. But he notes that in the Torah you're never going to find a word in the Torah that has a gimel and the test next to one another. So yeah, the Gaon says that. So the he can say that. So he said these are letters that are not naturally coexisting in the Torah side by side, which you know it speaks to the idea that. That the get, meaning the word get, is really mostly symbolic of the severing of the marriage between husband and wife. And, I know. I heard it as it relates to Chumash. I don't know. I don't know if it extends also to Navim Ksuvim. Yeah, I know. It really is. Verishama b'shem Rav Haigon v'shem Rav Saja. I'm reading on in Tosfos now. First Tosfos of the Masechta. So, and he quotes in the name of the Gaonim. Dichsiv Sefer Krisus. Now, we know that the Torah, when it describes the get, it describes it. The Torah itself doesn't use the word get, which based on the Gaon that I just quoted, you understand. It's not a Chumash term. The Torah, when it's describing the get, refers to it as Sefer Krisus. It's a book of severance. So it's a Sefer. So the Balei HaTosfos, quotes in the name of the Gaonim. He heard in the name of the Gaonim. Kishir Yud Beishitim. The reason why the get is going to be traditionally 12 lines is because Amafsikin Bein Arba Chumshe Sefer Torah Kida Amar Baba Basra. Because there's a halacha that we're going to see together in Baba Basra, in the first parak, which is when you start a sefer, there must be four lines of space, and then you start a sefer. Okay, that's the halacha. So, meaning when going from Bereishis to Shmos, so there has to be four lines of space. Going from Shmos to Vayikra, four lines, and from Vayikra to Bamidbar, there has to be four lines. Four times three, that's 12. Now, I'm sure you noticed what I did is I ignored Bamidbar Devarim. Not because there's no space between Bamidbar and Dvarim, but Toso says we're allowed to ignore that one. Why? He writes. He says, "Bein kol sefer v'sefer." The hapsak shebein vayidaber lemishna Torah lo chashiv. As far as the break between Bamidbar and Devarim, so Tosu says it's there, but it's not significant. She'eino ela chozer v'shona mashal lamala. Because we know that Devarim is just a review. Although, to be fair, it's not just a review. There are mitzvahs that come up in Devarim that are not recorded elsewhere in the Torah, which, and again, as another parenthetical point, Gittin is one of them. Gittin is not mentioned elsewhere in the Torah. It's mentioned only in Devarim. But still, the basic idea is that Devarim is a recap. It's a review. And so therefore, we don't consider the four lines between Bamidbar and Devarim. So therefore, there are Breish Yishmo, Shmos Vayikra, Vayikra, Bamidbar. There are three times where we're going to break for four lines each time. Four times three, that's 12. And the get itself is referred to as Sefer Krisus. And that's why it's a 12-line document. Okay, another pshat offered by the Rishonim, in this case the Gaonim, so that means that this is a really old minhag of making it 12 lines in terms of why the get is written over 12 lines. We turn back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah's point is that we don't know an explanation yet, but the Mishnah taught us that when transporting a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so the person who's transporting the get has to say the words Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechta, and stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss. We're going to see today's daf why that should be, but right now we don't know why. Hamolech v'amevi mimedina l'medina b'medina seyam. Now, when transporting a get from one province in Chutz Aretz to another province in Chutz Aretz, Tzarech sheyamer Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechta. You also need the shliach who is transporting the get needs to say when delivering the get that it was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Afilo Me Hagmonia LeHagmonia. Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that when you're going from one governmental body to another governmental body, meaning that you're really within the same basic area, geographical area, and let's call it the same country. However, the counties within the, if you will, the counties within the country are right now operated by really two different governing agencies. And there's really not a lot of traffic from one to another. So according to Shimon Gamliel, that's also going to be cause enough to require the person to say, the shlich to say, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Again, all this is going to be discussed at length. Rav Yehuda Omer, mi rekem lemizrach verekem kemizrach. Rav Yehuda now is going to give the parameters of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now we're not going to do a lot of geography right now, right? People here in this room know Eretz Yisrael much better than I do, but what Rav Yehuda is going to do is that he's going to now provide the basic parameters north, south, and east, not west, because as Rashi points out, that's the Mediterranean. So north, south, and east. The parameters of Eretz Yisrael, because again, in the world of Gittin, it relates to our particular halacha, that when delivering a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, you need to say, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. So here we are now drawing a perimeter. So, merekem lemizrach verekem kemizrach. So in terms of the Talmud of Rekem, Rekem now becomes your eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. So anything east of Rekem, and oh, by the way, says the Mishnah, Rekem itself also is considered Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. May Ashkelon Ladarim v'Ashkelon Kedarim. Ashkelon 2 is going to now be the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. So anything from Ashkelon and south is outside. It's Chutz La'aretz, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. And, oh, by the way, Ashkelon as well is considered Chutz La'aretz. Right? Mention this mission to anyone in Ashkelon, and they will be offended. And we're going to come back to that point in just a moment. They should be offended, not because of the Mishnah, but in other words, we'll come back to that point in just a second. Me'ako letzafon, Ako and anything north of Ako is considered Chutz La'aretz. Ve'ako kitzafon, and again. The Mishnah says Akko not only serves as a marker, but Akko itself is also considered Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Meir Omer Akko Keretz Yisrael LeGittin. Rabbi Meir on this point disagrees. He says Akko is considered part of Eretz Yisrael as it relates to Gittin. I'm going to come back to the perimeters in just a second. Just let's finish up the Mishnah. Hamevi get Eretz Yisrael Eino Tzarech Shiyomar Befanei Nechta Befanei Nechta V'im Yesh Alav Orim Yiskayim Bechosmav. And finally, You know the Mishnah was getting here because obviously all the points we made is traveling from outside Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned traveling from one province outside of Eretz Yisrael to another province outside of Eretz Yisrael. So now to cover every one of our bases, so the final point of the Mishnah is that when you're traveling intra Eretz Yisrael from one location to another within Eretz Yisrael, so then you do not need to say Bafanei Nechta, Bafanei Nechta. And if there is a challenge on the validity of the get, meaning the husband comes over and says, hey, that get, I don't know who wrote that. It's a forge, it's a counterfeit. I did not commission the writing of this get, so yikayim b'chos mav. So obviously, in order for a get to be a valid get, you have two witnesses who signed on the get. The witnesses who are signing on the get obviously know whether or not it's a forge or it's not a forge. So you do kiyum shtaros, you'll just simply certify and ratify the validity of the get. How do you do kiyum shtaros? So this takes us back to the second parak of Ksuvos. A quick reminder. For a document to be a valid document, so you need two witnesses to sign on the bottom of the document. Good. Those two witnesses who are signing on the bottom of the document validate the document. On top of that, an extra security measure was given so that if in the event that it's ever contested whether or not these signatures are good or not, so basically the document is going to be taken to a Beis Din, and a Beis Din will certify the document in one of three ways. One, get the original signatures to come and simply testify that they signed on, that is their signature. Two, get another pair of witnesses to come along and say, yeah, I recognize that signature. I know that signature. It belongs to so-and-so. Or three, take a previously existing document which was already certified with these signatures and compare it to the current document. These are three ways that one can be Mekayim Mishtar, can certify a document. You're doing this in Beis Din. Beis Din is going to be writing a henpeck. They're going to be stamping the document, saying that this document is, in fact, was ratified, was certified. Just as a note of interest, the last Rashi on the Mishnah explained everything I just told you, but Rashi left out the third way of certifying the document, and much is made of the fact that Rashi only brings two of the three ways of certification. Rashi doesn't bring in the compare this document to a pre-existing document. Okay, we're going to go back to the Mishnah and the Mishnah's point about the geography of Eretz Yisrael. Right, the Mishnah told us that Ashkelon is really the southernmost part of Eretz Yisrael, and Ashkelon itself is not even in Eretz Yisrael, and neither is Akko and Rechem. Okay, so let's take Ashkelon as an example, because Ashkelon I think we're most familiar with. So the Mishnah says Ashkelon is not considered Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, you have family over there? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right? Huh? So Tosos is bothered. Hiksha Rabbeinu Tam de Ashkelon Meretz Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Tam is bothered because you know Ashkelon is in fact part of Eretz Yisrael. Dechsev and he quotes Pesukim in Yoshua, Zos Arts in Nisharet. Okay, he quotes Pesukim from Yoshua from Shoftim. Ashkelon is in fact part of Eretz Yisrael. We conquered it when we came into Eretz Yisrael. So the question is very simple. What is our Mishnah saying? What is our Mishnah talking about? How can our Mishnah say that Ashkelon is not part of Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbeinu Tam offers the following explanation, the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. If you want to follow with me in signing Tosfos, it's the Tosfos, Dira Maskov Ashkelon Kedarom, three lines down in the Tosfos, the very beginning of the line. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos quotes the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, second time this morning, we're quoting Rabbeinu Tam. The Ole Bavel Lo Kivshua. We know that we came into Eretz Yisrael on two occasions. One, after 40 years in the Midbar, we came in and Yoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael. That is Kivush Rishon. And then a second time, we were exiled. We were then in Eretz Yisrael for approximately 800 years, thereabouts. And then we were exiled. Right, the Babylonian Empire took us out of Eretz Yisrael, exiled us into Bavel, and we were there for a short 70 years. And then we came back. Kivush Sheni. So, in the second kibush, it wasn't really a kibush. We didn't conquer Eretz Yisrael. In fact, we asked the Persian government, can we go back to Eretz Yisrael? They gave us a thumbs up and we went back to Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam now is being mechadesh, that when we came back into Eretz Yisrael round two, we didn't assume control/ownership of all the same geographical locations as in Kivush Rishon. So this is Rabbeinu Tam. Let's read inside. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, de ole bavel lo kivshua, ki de amar beperakam de chulin, gabi beisha'an, har bekrachim kivshum ole mitzrayim, velo kivshum ole bavel. He has a gemara in chulin that supports his chiddush, that when they came back in, for kivushani, so they did not assume control slash ownership of all the locations of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there aren't Talmidei Chachamim residing in these areas because we just did not assume control of those areas. And there's no basin over there. And as Tosus is kind of foreshadowing, right? Part of the issue of the requirement of Befanei Nechtam is a function of not having a Beis Din. And these areas, even though they may be in Eretz Yisrael, but because the Ole Bavel didn't assume control of it, so therefore they didn't set up yeshivas, they didn't set up Beis Din, we don't have Talmidei Chachamim, we don't have a Beis Din over there, and so consequently, in this halacha of Gittin, Mishnah Aleph, Fanei Nechtam, we're going to consider it as it is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Although, to be fair, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it seems like he's saying it on a broader level, not just in the realm of Gittin, but for other halachas as well. To what degree is Rabbeinu Tam prepared to say that Ashkelon is not part of Eretz Yisrael? I don't know, but it seems to be that way. The Re, within the Tosfos, takes issue with the Rabbeinu Tam. Obviously, this Tosfos is lengthy. But if you take a look at towards the end of the Tosfos, about 5-6 lines before the end of the Tosfos, the Amari, that feel b'tzad shal yitzol, sarach lomer fanei nechtav, lefishu b'sofa gvul, v'rachuk me'ikar yishuv eretz yisol, umuflag min yeshivos abatei dinim. The Re does not accept Tosfos' chiddush. He thinks that Ashkelon, for all other areas in Halacha, is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. It's just uninhabited Eretz Yisrael, uneducated Eretz Yisrael, meaning there's no Beis Din, there's no yeshivas, and they just simply do not know enough halacha, so that when a get is written in Ashkelon, so you need to study Befanei Nechtam, but the Re really fundamentally disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam to this idea that according to Rabbeinu Tam, Ashkelon is not part of Eretz Yisrael because the Kivishnia didn't assume control of it, and the Re says no, I don't agree with that basic premise. So really a basic machlokas in terms of a discrepancy between Kivish Rishon versus Kivish Eini. Let's start with the Gemara. Okay, so what have we learned together so far in the Mishnah? That when delivering a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, the husband is going to commission the writing of the get. He's going to have witnesses signing on the get. And then he's going to appoint a shliach who is going to be delivering the get into Eretz Yisrael, but in order for the get to be a valid get, he needs to say the words, Befanei Nechtam. He needs to say that it was both written and signed in front of me. And the obvious question, which we're going to deal with for the remainder of today's daf, is why? Why do these words become so important? What exactly is going on? Why did the Chachamim instruct the Shliach to say these words? My time. The Gemara starts off, Rabba Amar Lefi She'in Bikin Lishma. Explanation number one of the Gemara is given by Rabba. By the way, the two Amorim that we're going to be dealing with for the next 3 or 4 days is going to be Rabba and Rava. So their names are extraordinarily similar, and they were Rabbi.
The first one is Rabba.
Right. So the first one is Rabba with a hay. So usually the Masorah is to pronounce it with a base. And the next one is Rava, when the Masorah over there is to pronounce it with a vase. Okay, it's just it helps a little bit. Yeah, the Lafisha Ein Bikin Lishma. Rab is of the opinion that the reason why we need to say Befanei Nechtam is because people are not familiar with the halacha of Lishma. So first of all, let's familiarize ourselves with the halacha of Lishma. Okay, it's a good starting point. When a get is written, so the sofer has to have in mind the husband and the wife, and this husband and this wife. Let's say the husband has a generic name and the wife has a generic name. Sofer writes up a document, and just in case he writes it for for two people who have very generic names. When you go to the amusement park, you get the tchotchkes over there, so they have the pre-made tchotchkes with the names already on them. Okay, so the sofer does it. So this is a fatal flaw in a get. The get is simply not valid because it was not written with that man and that woman in mind. A get, in order to be a valid get, needs to be written lishma. Lishma in this case simply means that the sofer had this husband and this wife in mind. We're going to learn together later in the Masechta. Let's say, for example, that the sofer wrote the get for husband and wife, and they decide, you know what, let's not get a divorce, let's give this marriage another try, and they do so, and they throw the get in the garbage. And then along comes the neighbor, finds the get in the garbage, and lo and behold, look at that, unbelievable, what a great opportunity. Get my name and my wife's name, who knew? And he picks it up and he tries to use it, so it doesn't work. Even though all the information is correct, but the get wasn't written in his name. It was written with his name, but it wasn't written with him in mind. There's a basic requirement that has to be written lishma. This is not something that you can detect by looking at the get itself. You must know that the sofer had this man and this woman in mind. This is the halacha requirement of lishma. And if it does not have lishma, it's simply not going to be valid. So the way Rab is understanding our Mishnah is that what the shliach is really doing, when he says, b'fanei nechtam, that's code for this get was written lishma. Now, here comes an interesting part. How does that become code? Let's think about what he's saying. B'fanei nechtam, it was written in front of me, or b'fanei nechtam, and it was signed in front of me. Where exactly do we see in those four words that it was written lishma? Rashi writes, the first Rashi on the top of the Amud. Rashi writes, Ein b'nei b'nin z'yam b'nei Torah. So first of all, Rashi says that the people living outside of Eretz Yisrael, and again, Bavel is going to be excluded from all this, but people living outside of Eretz Yisrael are not b'nei Torah. Ve'in yodin sh'tarach lichtov aget l'shem ha'isha. And they don't know that the get was written, it needs to be written for the sake of the woman, meaning with this particular woman in mind, the kraksiv, the kasav law. And the Torah says that you write it for her. Sefer Krisos. Law, dahainu, lishma. So this is a basic halacha. Within a get that has to be written lishma. Hilkach. Omer hashlech b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. So Rashi says, here's what's going to happen. It's going to turn into a conversation. The shliach opens up with the words b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Umi meila shailinan lei. Then Rashi goes on to write, and then b'fanei nechtam. Let me have a follow up question, which is im nechtav l'shma v'hu omer in. Was it also written l'shma? And the shliach says yes. Okay. So interesting, Rashi. Rashi writes over here that the b'fanei nechtam is really just it's to induce the next question. But the next question really is the critical question, which is, was it written lishma? That's how Rashi understands the shita of Rabbah. It is a little bit difficult. Tosfos points out that really ikar chasam in a sefer, meaning b'fanei nechtam is really just an induction. I just want to induce the next question. It's a little bit strange. And what if you don't induce the next question? Meaning, according to Rashi's explanation of Rabbah, if, let's say, the shliach just said b'fanei nechtam, and there was no follow-up, sounds like from Rashi, we don't have confirmation that the get was written lishma. Sounds like from Rashi, it's not going to be good. Hard to imagine, because that important point is never said over in the Gemara. So that's very difficult. In fact, it's so difficult that Tosfos himself does not agree with Rashi. Tosfos Divar Maskal Afishe Mekim Lashma. Tosfos, last four lines of the Tosfos. V'ha depirish akuntros. Tosfos writes, that which Rashi writes, mela shaylina lehihave lishma v'amr in, the follow-up Q&A, ein nira. Tosfos says, I don't think so. I don't think that the b'fanei nechtam needs a follow-up. I think those words by themselves is proof positive that the get was written l'shma. First of all, Tosfos says, we don't find this anywhere in the Gemara, that there needs to be a follow-up question. And furthermore, the Gemara is just we haven't even seen the Shita of Rava yet. But the Gemara is going to articulate nafkaminas between Rabbah and Rava. According to Rashi, I'll give you a nafkamina. According to Rabbah, there needs to be a follow-up question. The Gemara doesn't say that. Okay. V'omer read the stam l'shma kamasi kideperish mekunshos nami b'samach. So the read says no. B'fanei nechtam is a testimony that the get was written l'shma. It's still a little bit troubling. Why, according to Rabbah, why not just simply say the get was written l'shma? Why use the formula of b'fanei nechtam? But Tosfos says there does not need to be a follow-up question, Q&A. And by the way, Tosfos himself points out that Rashi himself even offers a pshat in tomorrow's daf. We'll see that tomorrow. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi's explanation of why it is again you need to say b'fanenechtam is because there needs to be confirmation that the get was written l'shma. Rava Amar top of Beis Amid Beis. Rava's of the opinion l'fi shein edim esuim l'kaimo. Here's the problem. The problem is that we need the get to be validated. As I explained earlier this morning, when you have a get or any document with two witnesses who sign on the bottom, so there may come a point in time where those signatures need to be validated. Kiyum shtaros. The problem is that when the get is being transported from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, so you're never going to see those witnesses again. We don't know from those witnesses. So now, if anyone ever comes and challenges the get and the signatures on the bottom, so who's gonna certify the signatures on the bottom? Therefore, you're gonna have the shliach say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. It was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me, and he's essentially going to be doing the validating of the witnesses. Question, which hopefully you're wondering right now, is he's only one person. As we pointed out earlier this morning, you want to validate signatures, you need two witnesses. The Gemara will raise that issue. My Beinayu, we have now in front of us two reasons why the Shlich must say Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. Rabba and Rava. Rabba is of the opinion that it's Lishma. It's to confirm that the get was written Lishma. Rava says that the reason why we're going to say Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam is that this basically serves as a means of validating the witnesses. The Gemara points out, there's differences based on these two explanations. Ikebenah, the Gemara gives three differences. Number one, the Aisua Beitrei. Let's say, for example, we have not one, but we rather have two shlichim who are delivering the get. They don't, according to, I'll go in the order of the Gemara. According to Rabba, they're still going to need to say, b'fanei nechtam. Because again, just looking at the get itself is not going to be enough information to tell us that the sofer wrote it lishma. So therefore, they're still going to need to say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. According to Rava, the only reason why they have to say it is only because it basically serves as a means of validating. Over here, we have two people who are bringing it. Two people are bringing it, they can actually validate it. We don't need b'fanei nechtam to perform the validation. They're here. We have two witnesses. So therefore, they can end up validating it. So they would need to say b'fanei nechtam. That's nafkamina number one. Number two, inami. Mimedina medina me'eretz Yisrael. Let's say you're going from the north to the south, or from the south to the north in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is basically divided north-south, and there isn't a lot of communication traffic between the north and the south. If I deliver a get from Yehuda to Gullo, or from Gullo to Yehuda, do I need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? So the Gemara says, again, nafka mina between Rabba and Rava. According to Rabba, the entire issue is that the people living outside of Eretz Yisrael are not b'nei Torah. They don't know about this halacha of Lishma. But if a get was written in Eretz Yisrael, we all know about the halacha of Lishma in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore there'd be no need to say it. According to Rava, the whole reason why we're saying it is to serve as certification of the signatures, Kiyum Shtaros. Because there is no traffic between the north and the south, if ever the get is called into question, so we're going to need it to be validated. But the witnesses are all the way down in the south, and there's very little traffic between the north and the south, so therefore you would need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, according to Rava. A third nafkamina, inami, ba'osa medina b'medina sayam. So let's say the get is being delivered from one location in outside of Eretz Yisrael to another location outside of Eretz Yisrael, and let's say it's within the same province, do you need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? According to Rabba, the answer is sure you do. Because again, the issue is Lishma. The assumption is that outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're not fluent in the halacha of Lishma, and therefore, you're going to need to say it, even though you're basically within the same province. According to Rava, you're not going to need to say it, because the whole issue is Kiyum Shtaros. Over here, where they're within the same province, the witnesses who signed are just a stone throw away. If we need to get them, we'll get them. So therefore, there's no need to say B'fanei nechtam, B'fanei nechtam. So two opinions why there's a requirement to b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, three nafkaminas in the Gemara in terms of differentiating what would be the differences between the two positions. Ula Rabba da Amar Lefishem Bekim Lishmali by Trey. So now, let's focus for a moment on Shitas Rabba. Rabba says that the reason why the Shlich has to say Befanenechtam is because where the assumption is, or the concern is, the get was not written Lishma. Gemara says, if that's true, so shouldn't there be not one, but shouldn't there be two witnesses? Midi dehave, I call Edio Shebetorah. It's no different than any other type of testimony, meaning the shlich is really an aide. He's testifying that the get was written Lishma. He was there. He was there. He was commissioned to be a witness at the writing of the get and the signing of the get. And he's actually testifying that the get, the sofer, had in mind this husband and this wife. So really what we're talking about now is testimony. And we saw this in the beginning of Masechta Sota. We know testimony must be done by two, not by one. That's a very strong question. So the Gemara's answer to the question is, Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurin. Well, we have a general principle throughout Halacha, and that is one witness is believed, is credible, as it relates to Isurim. Rashi points out over here, so for example, Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurin. Sharei Ha'amin Otar, meaning Rashi. Sharei Ha'amin Otar Kol Echa Ve'echa Mi'Israel, Al Hafreshes Truma, Ve'al Hashchita, Ve'al Nikar Hagid, Ve'achelev. Many areas in Halacha where we know that you don't need a pair of witnesses. So for example, Rashi says, you buy your produce in Eretz Yisrael from somebody. Right? And let's assume he's not an Amaretz. Okay, do you need two witnesses to testify that he took off Trumas and Maestros? No. One witness is sufficient. Or says Rashi, right, another example. Shechita. You don't need two witnesses to say that the animal shechted properly. The shochet can tell you, hey, I shechted the animal properly, and that's enough. And the removal of the gitanasha, and the removal of the forbidden fats of an animal, meaning we know that one witness is sufficient. How do we know that one witness is sufficient? See Tosfos for a discussion of that. But when it comes to Yisurim, one witness is sufficient. So the Gemara says same thing over here. The Gemara is not thrilled with this answer. When do we say that one witness is sufficient? That's only when there was not a presumption of Isser. So for example, is this piece of fat, is it chalev or is it shuman? Unclear? You know, one witness is going to be believed. Okay, good. But however, over here, however, we're talking about a married woman. A married woman is in a presumptive state of Isser. She's married. The whole issue over here is termination of the marriage. But we know the fact is that she's married. So it's a presumptive state of Isser. And then the Gemara adds, and have a davashiba erva. And on top of that, it's not just Isser, it's also erva. And we know, and we know as a general rule that when it comes to Dvar Erva, you need two witnesses in order to remove the presumptive state of Erva. Really, the truth of the matter is, and this is a lengthier point, which I'm going to raise very quickly, the Gemara is actually making two points over here. Meaning, the Gemara said, well, one witness is believed when it relates to Isser. So point number one the Gemara makes is, that's only when there's no presumptive state of Isser. But if it's a presumptive state of Isser, so then one witness is insufficient. And on top of that, the Gemara also adds, it's also a Davar Sheba Erva. So really, the Gemara is making two points over here. It is a important discussion. We're just not going to have it now. Which of those two points is the Gemara really riding on? But either way, the Gemara is saying you can't compare. So we're back to our first question. According to Rabbah, the reason why we're saying b'fanenechtam is to ensure that the get was written l'shma. If that's true, we're talking about testimony. And we're talking about testimony allowing a woman to remarry. So, it is a davar shebe'erva, and she has a cheskas isser. One witness is not sufficient. How does all this going to work? Answers the Gemara. Rov b'kiyin hain. So, the Gemara's answer is that the majority of people writing a get are knowledgeable and fluent in the halacha of Lishma. In other words, what Rabbah is telling us is that this requirement, b'fanenechtam, is a chumrah. It's a stringency. Albeit, it is a stringency, but it really it's a chumrah. Fundamentally, we entrust the idea that the get was written lishma. And even according to Rav Meir, who is normally concerned about the improbable, and it's true, it's improbable that the get was not written lishma. However, according to Rav Meir, he's worried about that improbability. The Gemara says that's true, but stam sofri didaine mi gemar gemir. But look at our population. Meaning, we're not talking about anyone writing a get. We're talking about a sofer. You think a sofer doesn't know that the get needs to be written lishma? He does know that. And so, even according to Rav Meir, the sound thinking is that the get was written lishma. V'rabbanan hu de'atzrich v'hacha mishum iguna akilu bei rabbanan. This requirement of b'fanei nechtav is a chumrah mid de rabbanan. The rabbis imposed it. And the reason why they imposed that is because of aguna. But I'm sorry, the reason why they imposed that is to make sure that the get was written lishma. Really, fundamentally, this institution of the Chacham should require two witnesses because it's testimony. But because this is a Chumah d'Rabbanan, so they were more relaxed in the requirement. And in the relaxation, they only needed one, not two witnesses. Why? Why were they relaxed in the requirement? Because of Aguna. Because we don't want the woman to be in a state of married but not married. Meaning, right, they're separated and really a divorce should be issued, but for whatever reasons the divorce is not being issued. In Aguna. So as a result of that, the Chachamim relaxed the rules and only required one shliach. Gemara is going to tackle this the last point that we just made tomorrow. So really, we're in the middle of a thought. We'll continue. We'll pick it up tomorrow on the top of the daf. Just as a quick recap, we started the first mission and getting the requirement that when a get is being transported from a shliach from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, so the words b'fanei nechtam need to be issued by the shliach in order to validate the get. Why should that be? Machlokis amorayim between Rabba and Rava. Rabba says it's so that there is a testimony of kiyum. I'm sorry. According to Rabba, it's the testimony that the get was written lishma. According to Rava, it's so that there would be kiyum shtaros. Gemara noted that there are going to be three nafkaminas based on these two reasons that are given, and then the Gemara we finished up today by trying to understand. According to Rabba, shouldn't there be a requirement of two witnesses? To which the Gemara says, fundamentally, yes, but really fundamentally, we entrust the idea, the fact that the get was written, that the get was in fact written lishma. We're talking about sofrim, they know about the halacha of lishma. This is an extra requirement made by the chachamim, and in their extra requirement, they were just a little bit more makel, only requiring one, not two. Okay, we'll pause over here.